He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
And we're getting into auto show season in the East Coast. We're a little early to be talking about the New York Auto Show, which is going to be, I think, in April or maybe late March. But the big news so far, which isn't really big but it's disappointing, is that Audi has officially decided not to show up at the New York Auto Show this year. And this has been happening at other auto shows, the Detroit show in particular, which has moved, I think, to the spring of this year. But last year, a number of American manufacturers or other automakers decided not to show up there. And the question is will we see some other withdrawals to the New York Auto Show before we get there this spring? I don't know what it'll do. I think Audi's, quite frankly, I don't want to talk too much about Audi, but Audi's trying to remake itself, I think. They've got some issues going on. And maybe they just decide that the return benefits aren't there for them to show up and display their cars.
Are there Audi issues? I was not aware.
Well, there are, in my opinion.
Okay. Best riding car in the market.
Yeah, Jay's got that thing.
But the long short is the issues are opinion rather than...
They're my opinion because, well, they're behind the scenes. I think they're out there in the industry situation as far as Audi's concerned. But
such
as Jay says, in his opinion, it's the best riding vehicle out there. People don't know that. You know, the interesting thing about what is the best riding vehicle? That's a good topic to move over to, because I heard that in the Motor Trend's best 10 vehicles, they stated that the RAV4 was, their opinion, the best riding SUV, small SUV vehicle in that market segment. And it makes me say, shall I go down with my Jeep and go test drive a CX-5, which is the vehicle they were... Oh, I'm sorry, Mazda, not Toyota. Mazda CX-5 was the best riding sport utility vehicle in that segment. And made me wonder what I wanted to go down and drive one to see if it was significantly better than the Cherokee, which I drive. And... But
you have not.
Back to the question, what is the best riding vehicle? Everybody's got an opinion. You would probably have to spend a lot of time doing a lot of testing before you could figure out whether somebody else's opinion was the same as your opinion or not.
Well, that's the one great thing about opinions, but that's why I was trying to figure out whether there was a problem. In your opinion, you said there were some issues with Audi.
What are the issues
and
with Audi?
And I was just trying to figure out what
Audi's not doing well in the electric car business. Is one thing. They're trying to introduce the electric car. Everybody's trying to introduce electric cars to compete with Tesla, who has a history now and a track record, which is, Jay and I were talking about this out of the studio, and my opinion was, one of the comments that I read was that people who had put orders in for the Audi e-trons were withdrawing those orders because it was turning out that they were finding that it was expensive to finance or purchase. And, you know, what can you say? The Tesla is expensive to finance and purchase. But the question is, are Audi e-trons and the coming electric cars from all the manufacturers going to really give Tesla a run for its money, or aren't they? And, you know, I think Jay doesn't necessarily disagree with me, but he may not agree with me either. That just keeps him neutral. You know, Tesla is really sort of a thing. Everybody loves their Tesla. They are raving about it. Every time I talk to somebody, they rave about it. The little glitches that come in the delivery process or whatever else occurs doesn't seem to change their opinion of having been very happy that they bought a Tesla. And there's nothing better than than ownership raves to continue making a vehicle sell well in the marketplace if people have the money to go buy that particular price range vehicle. And Jay wants to speak.
I want to get back to Audi and its problems or not non-problems. I think Audi's sales have slipped a bit. I don't know what the pecking order is at the top of luxury car sales.
I will tell you when you stop.
Okay. But I do know that their product line is solid, and they are owned by the biggest car manufacturer in the world. So in the long term, I'm not really worried about Audi. The e-tron here in the U.S. is maybe not the ideal product, because we do know that VW and Audi in particular with the e-tron have decided to sacrifice range just a tiny little bit. And there's more emphasis on the recharging time than there is on absolute range. And I do think, and I think Robin agrees with me on that, that you know what we see here in the U.S. market is that range is really important. There's that. There's the fact that Audi has had strong sales in Europe, so they're not really trying to push the e-tron all that much here in the U.S. Not right now, anyway.
Is the e-tron selling in Europe? Is that what you're saying?
Yes,
the
e-tron is selling in Europe.
Because the range situation is so completely different.
Yeah, well, the thing is, there's a marketing thing, again, and we've spoken about this time and time again. If you're buying a Tesla, you know you're buying an electric vehicle. If you walk into an Audi dealership, there are a gazillion other products you can buy, too.
That's for sure.
And so we're back to that. I think the general manufacturers, whether it's Ford with the Mustang Mach-E or GM that is really not trying to sell any Bolts, or Audi with the e-tron, or a number of others. I mean, Nissan has had the Leaf out for years, and it's still probably the most ignored electric vehicle out there. So.
For any reason, or just because it's Tesla?
I haven't.
Speaking of manufacturers that are in deep doo doo, Nissan is really on the brink of disaster.
They're on the edge, and they've got a very successful line of vehicles in the Rogue SUV. But
it's their sedans, only vehicle.
In the sedans, and they're short of SUVs probably, which is part of the problem, but in their sedans, they're just certainly not making any headway. Against the competition, and how Nissan, probably being a Japanese company, has deep pockets and they can survive. Audi's got deeper pockets. Jay is correct. They're not financially in trouble. The problem with Audi is that they're trying to make gains on BMW and Mercedes, and they're not succeeding in doing that.
That's not true. Over the last 20 years, they actually
have. Just a minute. You said you didn't know who was the top of the line.
Yeah, but this year.
Mercedes and BMW continue to stay at the rank, and we're talking about U.S. market, not necessarily Europe.
Overall. And you used to be a big Audi guy. So, I mean.
Yeah, well, my opinion about Audi is they're great during the warranty period, and afterwards I don't want to own one anymore. I only say that because after I ran out of warranty coverage on my Audis, they were fairly reliable, but if you went in, you didn't get out for less than $1,000 or sometimes significantly more if you had to have something non-coverable by an expired warranty situation on Audi. And so my opinion is, and it happens to be the same with BMW and Mercedes. I think all the European cars tend to be expensive repair items when they're not covered by a warranty situation. Not that they break down a lot, but it's just a nuisance. And, you know, you get to the point where you got to go quite far to get to an Audi dealer or a BMW dealer or a Mercedes dealer around here, whereas you don't have to go so far to get to a Ford, Chrysler, or Chevy dealer, because there's so many more dealerships around. And American cars, bar none, are less expensive to service and repair than the European cars. And that counts for something eventually. It doesn't count for something with the financial group or with the people who are financially well off and want to have the status symbol of a Mercedes symbol or a BMW or an Audi symbol on their car. And they've got people to take the cars to the service and back for them, so they don't have to deal with it.
Often the service, you know, if those people are coming up, for example, or if they're in the city, there are people who come and pick them up. There's a whole service orientation that makes
Hyundai
it not a problem.
Hyundai has a concierge service. I don't know how many others now. If you buy a Genesis-branded vehicle, I haven't heard whether there are distance restrictions, but I haven't heard, but supposedly if you buy a Genesis vehicle now, you can have your car picked up and delivered to you every time you have it serviced. One of the Flynn, BMW, VW up in Pittsfield was known last century, and I think they still continue to do it, for having the same concierge situation. They, if you bought a Audi from them, I'm not sure whether that extends to the VW line or the BMW line, which they also sell. But people bought Audis up in Pittsfield because instead of elsewhere around in Connecticut, because they had concierge delivery, pickup and delivery service for servicing vehicles for their customers, which
Volvo
was a big thing.
Yeah.
Volvo has that also.
If you are in the if you are in the service business and if you're trying to create long-term relationships and get people to come back and buy your cars, I will say that that is
it's a big item.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just
not going to be the bread and butter situation that you see at Ford.
You can go both ways with that, because if you have your concierge service and you never put your foot in a dealership anymore, it's a lot harder for them to
recapture you for the next time around.
Right.
I mean, unless you want their concierge service to continue,
which is again,
might be a big draw.
I think people have figured out along the way there's no one-size-fits-all in the auto business.
That's correct.
So you just try and
snabble
as much.
The good news in the auto industry right now, if I was thinking about that, you know, compare this to 30 years ago, there are so many different sizes. I mean, the number of products out there and the different variations on the same model or similar models is never ending. You know, there is a size for pretty much everybody and anybody.
There sure is. The Consumer Electronics Show has just ended out in where do they have it? In Las Vegas.
Vegas. Yeah.
And apparently, according to some of the news items I've listened to, there was nothing earth-shaking at the Consumer Electronics Show this year.
I thought Sony came out with an electric car.
That's not earth-shaking, because they're really not going to get in the car business. Apple was going to be a car producer for a while, and that didn't go anywhere.
And then Toyota
either.
Came out with a flying car.
And, Hyundai's come out with the flying car.
Oh, sorry.
And the question is whether that's really going to be something other than
the question
sort of
is that if you
curiosity.
Don't do a show called Car Keys, and you happen to hear on the news that these two things have happened, what do you think?
I don't think it's anything that we're going to see around our northwest corner broadcast area for some time to come. Because, first of all, you can't land flying vehicles in most of the towns around here. So do you any good to have a Hyundai helicopter car to bring you up to your country place? Because people have been trying to do that. Some people did it last year. There were helicopter pads in New York State, and people could fly in on a helicopter and land in the legal helicopter landing pads that were scattered throughout Dutchess County over the line here. And you used to be able to fly airplanes onto some of the lakes here way back last century. But you can't do that in most cases now. There's a grandfathered place on Sharon, on Indian Lake, for example. And it's been known to, somebody's been known to land in Twin Lakes, probably illegally, once in a blue moon.
Pontoons?
Pink moon. Yeah, pontoons, yeah, of course. And except for emergencies, I don't think it's really technically legal to do that anywhere around. And Cornwall did property that allowed helicopter landings. And I believe that has been given up by one of the later owners. So that no longer is, I think, grandfathered in.
What am I more embarrassing?
Hyundai's helicopter cars aren't going to be seen around the northwest Connecticut corner of
I thought they were flying cars. It's more, they would call it a helicopter.
They've had flying cars for a couple of decades, theoretically, but nothing really.
As I said, for those of us who don't do car keys, for those of us who are civilians, it sounds, you know, it sounds interesting.
I think it's getting harder and harder to combine the two types of vehicles. To make an object fly, it's got to be light.
You think?
Yeah.
To have it roadworthy, vehicles are becoming more and more heavier just for safety reasons. So, no, not happening.
Good. Not happening anytime soon.
All right. And Sony's not putting out a car.
No.
Okay. Moving on.
Jay?
Well, I came unprepared because I was traveling this morning.
Okay. I'll go to a couple of things while you're thinking up something to.
He was just gotten there.
Go ahead.
Car sales have been at 17 million level or above for the last 4 years, and which is good news for the car industry and may stay stable for this coming year. We don't know. However, FCA is trimming or stopping production at 4 plants in their production lines of several vehicles, the Dodge Caravan and the Chrysler or whatever. The Pacifica is one of the plants that's closing in Canada for 1 or 2 weeks to realign production to the actual sales rate that's going on instead of producing vehicles regardless of whether the dealers have ordered them or not. My favorite vehicle in the Jeep line, the Cherokee, which I have two of them, they're stopping that plant in Belvidere, Illinois, because they pumped out a lot of Cherokees, apparently, and dealers didn't order them. And so they're trying to realign production.
I love the word realign.
Sales too.
That's a typical FCA thing. They produce a lot of vehicles. They shove them down dealers' throats. They cheat and lie about their inventory levels, and we know there's lawsuits and court cases going on with that.
There were, whether the president or not, I don't know.
It's an ongoing thing. But the bigger thing is if a vehicle like the Jeep Cherokee. If the production of that vehicle is being idled, it tells you something because it is a hot vehicle on the market.
Yeah, right. But once again, if you overproduce.
Well, the whole idea was the faster you produce the assembly line, the less per vehicle cost there was in the individual numerical line of vehicles.
And how does that add up with carrying cost?
The carrying cost becomes a combination company, corporate, and dealer problem. The corporation, until they sell to the dealers, do nothing but park their vehicles in parking lots.
Jill, remember a couple of weeks ago I felt terrible about ending the show on a gloomy note? The fact of the matter is I think I'm still kind of pessimistic on the outlook for 2020. And reading about the news of FCA idling several production lines, Nissan really doesn't know what to do next. Ford is not in a really great position.
Their Lincolns are not selling at the rate they'd like them to, and one of their plants, I believe, is going down for a week or so.
The bright side of Ford is actually their Lincoln product line is
good.
Is very good right now. The new, both the Aviator and the Expedition are, not the Expedition.
Navigator.
The Navigator, thank you. Are doing well. The Aviator is a great vehicle. I just read the comparison between it and the new Cadillac XT6.
Which I like, actually.
Yeah, I like it too, but the Navigator is a better vehicle in all respects.
The Aviator.
We've
got Aviators, we've got Navigators.
Well,
we've got
and that's part of the
what
problem.
What about the Alligator, the Lincoln Alligator?
Yeah,
that would be a good one.
I know.
You know, but besides that, Ford, you know, we still haven't seen the new Ford Escape. They don't make any cars anymore. The Explorer has problems, and the new Explorers have been recalled.
Which probably is not affecting sales a whole lot.
I may disagree with some people around here. I think the Mustang Mach-E is a recipe for disaster.
Long range.
And so Ford is kind of
they're looking for trying to figure out where
like a carnival heading. Cruise ship out at sea without
or
any engines.
Without engines.
And that's happened before. But I think Volkswagen, with all their fines and all their problems, is still the number one car company in the world. And I think the outlook for them is pretty good. And that includes their Porsche and Audi brands.
As well as Seat.
And all of their other brands that they don't sell on the U.S. market, but they're in good shape.
And are we talking about the U.S. market for these? For
yeah, so we were talking about those 17 million sales, annualized sales.
And that's for the U.S.?
Yeah. I think the outlook for this year is probably pretty flat.
Well, one of the things that you're hinting at but didn't say yet, which is probably also affecting the possible problems for this year's market, is that the continuing increasing prices of these vehicles as they try to put more and more technology into them. And they're making some of these vehicles with technology standard, and they're either eating some of the cost of that or else the cost of those vehicles are going up little by little, which bodes well for the used car market, actually, theoretically, as people's incomes don't go up to match the increasing prices of these vehicles. What are we at? 37,000 plus is the average car sales now, which used to be 33 like a year ago or 2 years ago when we were talking about this topic, which we do periodically.
You know, arguably you get a lot more car for that amount of
you
money.
You do get a lot more car because they're loading them up with package stuff and you, they don't charge you by the feature. They charge you by the package of features. And apropos of my comment about the Jeep Cherokee inventory I looked at recently, yes, you go to a Jeep dealer now, if you've been following it the way I have, and all of a sudden their inventory average is up around 30 set for the Cherokee models, seems to be in a couple of dealerships I visited in the between $37,000 and $41,000 range as of between, if you look at the base price of the Sport that I bought in 2015 was $28,000. You can't find a base price Cherokee anywhere on anybody's lots in under $30,000 now because they're all Limiteds instead of Sports. And
was that a supply and demand thing? And by the way, the Limited Sports, et cetera, was something that Jeep did a long time ago when they had all – we've talked about the various gradations. They
had
the Sport and the Pioneer and the Laredo and the Cherokee and the Grand Cherokee.
Without your permission because they eliminated the Sport version of the Cherokee, right? And there's something called a Latitude, which is a pre the next lowest level. But there's a Latitude. There's a Latitude Plus, and then there's the – other ones that are all more expensive.
One's so, head could spin.
And we no longer order the vehicles because we don't want to wait.
Well,
so
plus
that
also
dealers
leasing.
Only the dealers have to do is make a deal with you. And if they can make the deal and sell their $39,000 one to you for $35,000, then somebody gets $4,000 off and the dealer loses some profit. But otherwise, they sit on the lot and wait for the incentives to increase.
So on the little side note of the car business and fantasy cars, and I follow a young person called Supercar Blondie, who's a marketing genius and has I don't know how many million followers on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube. And if you want to see cool cars, just follow Supercar Blondie in whatever medium you want to follow her, and you will see things. I mean, this morning I was looking at the review of the Rolls-Royce Cullinan. Cullinan, is that how we pronounce it?
Yeah, something like that.
Something
yeah.
like that. It's just some pretty cool vehicles. The new AMGs, the new Maybachs.
They're top of line?
We're talking prototypes and very, very, very limited production vehicles.
Okay.
There are people out there that review cars, but
Supercar Blondie.
Supercar Blondie is the end of all
reviewers. Based in Dubai, where
she's in
the future
Dubai,
of the world is.
And the manufacturers can't wait to deliver vehicles to her for her review. And I guess they fly them all into Dubai.
Well, why not?
Why not? Exactly.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.